I'm good. Is it on? You can hear me? Oh, okay. All right. Cool. I can't hear myself. But anyway, yeah, Lucy said, Dave, just go up and help him. Thank you, Craig, for that. I don't know what to say about that intro, but yeah, my name's Dave. I used to work here. No, I'm so excited. I've been so excited to be able to be here with you and to just share God's word with you. I've missed being up here and seeing all your happy faces, most of you. It's been a year since I've worked here, like over a year, and it's gone by so fast. I can't even believe it. So I thought I'd just give you a little bit of an update of what I've been up to, because I didn't just retire. What I did was I went to work with our regional offices, the Canadian Church of God Ministries, which oversees not only this church, but 24 other churches throughout Western Canada between Winnipeg and Richmond. And so it's kind of a large territory. I've been doing lots of traveling and those sorts of things, and just being able to get to know some of our churches, some of our pastors a little bit better. I'm able to spend more time with our pastors doing clergy care, as well as developing young leaders from high school in our Emerge program with the Youth Task Force, and discipling high school students, preparing them and helping them explore their call, that they might be called towards ministry. And if they are, then I usher them into Bible college and help them out with Bible college. Not to do their work, but they have to do their work, but we help them financially through our scholarship program, as well as helping them transition into a possible entry-level leadership position, which is pretty exciting. It's not like we take a college grad and just throw them into rural Saskatchewan as a senior pastor and expect them to be okay. But what we do is we try to develop some entry-level positions to be able to help them just get more mentorship and internships and those sorts of things so that they can learn what it's like to be in ministry and to be more equipped and to be able to lead the coming generations of our churches, as well as we're looking at different areas of how we can plant new churches, because that's an important thing as well, to be able to start new faith communities, which will reach people in communities and those sorts of things. And so I'm just excited, and I'm having a lot of fun doing what I do. It's very different than what I did when I was here, and I'm still adjusting to it in many ways. One of the things that I do every year, I've done it twice now because I started last January and I did it again this January, is there is a gathering of regional pastors throughout North America, all the way from Alaska to Florida and everywhere in between. And so we gather together once a year as regional pastors and just basically vision God's future for the Canadian, for the Church of God in nationally as well as internationally. And so we just have a great time of fellowship. And the thing is, most of us meet down in the States. And I said, hey, guys, why don't you come to Canada? And they said, well, what's the temperature in Canada? And that was the end of that conversation. And so they like to meet. Last year, it was in San Antonio, Texas. Beautiful city if you ever get to go there. And this year, it was in Daytona Beach, which is a beautiful city as well. As you can imagine, it's in Florida. How nice could that be? So, being regional is not living the high life, as Pastor Craig would say. Because the thing about it is, we were in Daytona. He's not even here for me to slam him. I think he went to Route 67. Oh, okay. Well, there goes all my Craig jokes. I love that guy. We have so much fun together, Craig and I. Anyway, so we're in Daytona Beach. And the thing is, they put us like in this hotel right on the beach, which is beautiful. And you think, well, that's awesome. It sounds like a vacation. But then they lock us in a room with no windows. And so it's not exactly as glamorous as you'd think. But the thing is, we had this beautiful view, and they give us this amazing rate on this hotel. And so Kim came with me. My wife came with me this time, and it was just absolutely wonderful for us to be able to get away and for her to get to know some of those crazy regional pastors. And we got there, and it had just finished raining. In Florida, it rains like just about every day, but it only rains for a little time, and then you get the sunshine. And the thing about it was, it's when it stops raining and the sun comes out, once in a while you get a rainbow. And so I think I have a picture up of this view that we had. This is the view, like, from our hotel room. I didn't want to leave our hotel room except to go on the beach. And so it was one of those things where we saw both the beginning and the end of the rainbow. No pot of gold in either end, by the way. It's just ocean underneath. And I remember we're looking out there just thinking, whoa, this is going to be a good trip for one. And the other part I was thinking was, what an amazing creation and artwork that God has given us to be able to enjoy. And so we had to take, I took several pictures. This wasn't the best one. I couldn't even get the whole rainbow because I can't figure out how to use that panorama feature on my phone. Yeah. Anyway, but absolutely beautiful. And the other night I was taking my dog out to do her business, and it was dark and it was late, and I looked up in the sky and it was an absolutely clear night, and it was absolutely beautiful, and I could see all the stars, and it just struck me, you know how sometimes you see things and you just take it for granted, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, yeah. You look at the stars and they're in these formations and they're so far away. And we like to think that our universe is this big random thing, and yet God placed these stars, which are these massive planets, very, very far away. And you get this, I just had this overwhelming sense of the awe-ness of how small I am, how big the universe is, and how not random, and how big God must be to be able to create such a universe and place these stars in the formation, like the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper, all those different formations. They're the same every night, every day, and we can look at them and we can enjoy. And I just, with the rainbow and the stars, I'm just overwhelmed by the wonder of God, the awe-ness of God. Have you experienced that recently at all? Have you experienced that ever? And just see His creation and see the beauty that there is before you and the randomness that there is before you, and just think, wow, there's so much wonder. There's so much mystery. And there's so much vastness in the work of God. Well, that helps me to think of the title of today's sermon, which is Words of Wonder. Words of Wonder. And we're talking about the Bible, the Word of God, the Scriptures that give us instruction, that give us the mind of God on paper. And how when we read the Word of God, there is this wonder and amazement that He gave us His words to be able to know who He is. So I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, all the way to 17. Do we have it up on the screen? If you have it in your Bible or anything like that, then please go ahead and do that. It says this: "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know these from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." Now listen to this. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Have you ever thought about that reading the Word of God gives you an encounter with the mind of God? Reading the Word of God gives you an encounter with the mind of God. I don't know if any of you have ever journaled. I've tried journaling. I'm trying it right now. It's not really that effective. Here, I'm using my right hand. I'm left-handed. But writing a journal is something that's very difficult for me. But the thing is, when you read the Bible, it's like reading God's journal that He breathed into human beings to write down. So if God not only, like, I write random thoughts, and sometimes I think, I hope nobody ever reads this. But for God, He was so intentional with every word that went into Scripture that you're reading the very best edited version of His journal. And the thing is, if we're here, then we're either searching for God to know God, or we know God and we want to know Him more. Because I doubt you're here just because we serve good coffee, because that's not necessarily getting up early on Sunday morning for. But when we think of Scripture, we need to think about that we are reading the very words of God. We're reading His journal. We're getting to know His mind. When you want to get to know somebody, I wouldn't recommend just reading their journal without their permission. But where you're getting to know somebody, you ask them questions. You get to know their mind, their thoughts. You get to know their heart, what they're passionate about, what they believe in, what their hopes and their dreams are. Well, the best way to know God is to read His Word, to read His journal towards us and for us. And God's journal is this document that shows us the beginning, the very beginning of God's creation and why He created us. And then it ends with this revelation of how God is still in charge and He's sovereign and He reigns over this world continually. And then everything in between is this unfolding story of how God interacts with the world and how He loves us and how He has a plan for us. And it's this beautiful book, but so much more than a book, that reveals so much to us in our lives. And that we need to understand and we need to know to be able to hear the voice and the heart of God. So there's a tremendous amount of purpose of why we have Scripture and why the Bible exists. And the purpose is found in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed. Remember that? I just read those words. And is useful. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness. And so that the servant of God, that's you and that's me, the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. To be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the purpose of the Bible is for God to tell us about Himself. God wants you to know Him, and He's given this beautiful book to help you know who He is, to tell us about Himself, to reveal Himself to us. The purpose is also to tell us about ourselves and about the world. Why do we exist? Why does the world exist? How did the world come to existence? The Bible tells us all these things. The purpose is also to empower us to live godly lives. To empower us to live godly lives. When we know God and we learn about God, there's an empowerment of Scripture that is given to us. To be able to know and to be spoken into, to change our hearts, to help us to develop as followers of Jesus Christ and to empower us to do His will and His mission within this world. It's also to facilitate a relationship with God. The Bible is His way of sharing His thoughts and His desires with us. And reading the Bible, think about this, reading the Bible is listening to the voice of God, listening to the voice of God. It's His words to us. The purpose of the Bible is also to introduce and elevate Jesus. He's introduced in the prophecies of Scripture. And then He's introduced to us through the Gospels. And He's elevated. He's elevated as the Son of God. As very God Himself in human form. It's where we get the idea of a need for a Savior. And then the Gospel of salvation. The words of the Bible exalt Jesus just as we should exalt Jesus within our lives and in our words. The Bible also has a purpose to prepare us for the mission of God, to prepare us for the mission of God. In the beginning, and it unfolds throughout Scripture, the beginning was to have dominion and to be good stewards of God's creation. That was God's command. That was His mission towards us. And through Abraham, we have the descendants of God. And their mission was to show God to the rest of the world. Sometimes that was in fairly harsh ways, but it was to show God to the world. And through Christ in the New Testament, our mission becomes much more clear when He gives us the Great Commission. Remember that? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Does that sound familiar? I hope so. Our mission becomes clear. And then we read throughout the letters and we read throughout the New Testament of how this beautiful mission unfolds in the early churches through the apostles. And there's this wonderful teaching that happens about God. And it helps us to understand that the purpose of the Bible is to instruct us and to challenge us and to empower us to be on His mission. And the Bible is this wonderful book of truth. And the thing about truth and the thing about the Bible is that the Scriptures are very much alive. And we need to understand that. And nothing should be more natural to a Christian. Nothing should be more natural to a Christian than reading the Word of God. It should be a natural thing. It should be something that we even crave. Something we crave. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2 and 3, it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. I have two children. They're both kind of teenagers. And I remember when they were like teeny tiny little babies. Now one of them is almost taller than me. But I remember when they were teeny tiny little babies. And I remember every time they scream, every time they make a noise, you're either going, oh, or you're going, oh, no. What do they need? What do they need? Kim, help. And the thing about it, when they're hungry, is usually when they scream the most. And they would scream, and then I would have this bottle, and you kind of, it's like the slow motion thing, right? Where you bring the bottle, and they're screaming and screaming, and they just put it in their mouth and like, right? And it's done. They're done. And there's that craving that they have for the milk, the craving that they have for food and for sustenance. And all they know is that their stomach is hurting and they really need something to soothe the pain and the craving. Friends, that should be our approach to Scripture, to crave it as we crave food, to want to hear the voice of God, to want to read the Scriptures, the words of God, God's journal, and to crave it like a newborn craves milk. As Christians, we ought to be familiar with Scripture because it equips us to be able to give answers for why we believe. It equips us to be on God's mission. It equips us that when hard times come, Scriptures come to mind. If you're ever journeying with somebody who is going through a hard time and they're a strong Christian, what's usually the first thing that come out of their mouth? Scripture or a hymn, which is based on Scripture. Friends, we ought to be familiar with Scripture so that when hard times come, when challenges come, when our faith is tested, Scripture is something that comes to mind. And then we are comforted and we understand, okay, God is still with me. Scripture should also, it should shape the decisions we make in life. It should guide us within our lives so that we understand. And sometimes we struggle with decisions and sometimes God gives us a choice. But at the same time, we understand and we know and we are guided by Scripture of how God is guiding our steps each and every step of the way through His Word, through His leading. And it's a way of being near to the heart of God when we read His Word. Scripture tells us who we are and how the world operates. It tells us who we are. We are created by God. We are human beings. He created us for fellowship with Him. And then through Jesus Christ, we became children of God. Not just creators, or not just created by God, but children of God. Children that He chose to bring us into His family, into His body, to give us that opportunity to be a part of His family. Those are truths that are revealed in Scripture. Without Scripture, without God's Word, we wouldn't know any of these things. Without God's Word, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't know any of those truths. But through His Word, we understand, we know, our lives are shaped. And so it's not just enough to value Scripture. It's not just enough to read Scripture. But we also need to examine our posture as we approach Scripture. And that's very important. Pastor Egbert and I, we talked about this sermon series that he was. So I'm hoping I'm not taking away from some things that he's going to be talking in the coming weeks, because he's going to talk about some of the practicalities of studying Scripture. But I thought it was important. This is something that I came across and I want to bring it to you because I think it's important when we approach Scripture that we pay attention to the posture of which we are approaching the Scripture. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active." The word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. When you read Scripture, do you think about how it's alive and active, or are they just words on a page? The Scriptures are living words. The Scriptures are the living word of God. Now, I mean, I know when we read like 1st and 2nd Chronicles, it's hard to think about how that comes alive with all those names that we can't pronounce. But the thing is, why are those names there? Those names are there to form identity. to help us understand how a name is important, how allegiance towards God is important. And there's something to be revealed there. So when we approach Scripture, we can approach it with these postures. And I think it's important to pay attention to how we are approaching the Scripture. Because sometimes how we approach Scripture, and I know this is fairly common, is through guilt. I approach Scripture because I have to. If I'm a Christian, I have to read the Word of God. It's like going to church. I have to go to church. I have to not swear. I have to do this. I have to do that. Well, friends, that's legalism. And God does not want us to approach the Scriptures out of legalism. So get rid of the guilt. Now, for me, I'm not a particularly disciplined person. And you're thinking, what? Pastors have to be disciplined. I'm not afraid of hard work. But I'm not particularly disciplined. And I'm not going to pretend I am, because my family will just go, whatever. See, I'm not a morning person. And most of my colleagues, or most of my mentors and those who I've followed, and even my own dad, would read Scripture every morning. And that's how they would start their day. I'm not a morning person. I am not a morning person. I survive mornings. I get up because I have to. I make breakfast. I make coffee because I have to. Well, I make coffee so that I can get through my morning. I'm not addicted. I'm not a morning person. And so for me, to do my devotions in the morning is not giving God my best. Nodding off during reading the Scriptures is not a good thing. And so for me, I don't do my devotions first thing in the morning. I get everyone off to school, work, all that kind of stuff. And I work from my home. And so I have that space to be able to do that. And so I have Scripture with a cup of coffee and my Bible and my dog who's bugging me. And I spend time with God. And sometimes I don't get that luxury, and I have to have time with God later in the day. Or sometimes I don't get time until the evening to be able to have time with God. And the thing is, it's not that I'm forgetting about God. I'm having a conversation with God throughout the day. But for years, I felt guilty because I wasn't a morning person. Because I had so much struggle starting the day with Scripture and with prayer. And I've given that up. Because the most important thing is to spend time with God in the Scriptures, reading His Word and prayer. And God doesn't care what time of day you do it. It's what's important for you. For those of you who are able to do it first thing in the morning, bless you. I envy you. I wish I was a morning person. Life might be easier at times. But I've let that go. And maybe there's some guilt that you can let go as you approach Scripture. The other posture we can sometimes have is status. We want to be the answer person, right? We want to have all the answers. We want to know which Scripture at which time and all the background knowledge and everything that there is to know so that we can give everybody the information that they need if they have any sort of question. Now, there's nothing wrong with knowing the Scriptures in that way. But if that's the posture that you want the status of being the go-to person, that's not the correct approach to Scripture. And that's not God-honoring to be able to just have the answers. Because it's not necessarily what God wants us to use the Scriptures for. It's just to direct people. But He wants us to impact our own lives. So forget the status and approach the Scripture with humility, which I'll get to in a second. The other is teaching material. Now, here's what pastors are most guilty of, right? I've been there, is where a pastor will approach Scripture and everything that they read in Scripture is applicable. And I've thought this myself, man, that'd preach, that'd teach. And we dig into the Scriptures. And it's not that this is a wrong approach, but if this is our only approach, we're not allowing the Scriptures to really soak into our soul, to really speak into our lives, because we're so focused on how it's speaking into others' lives that we're not allowing it to soak into our lives. So it's always important to be able to understand that we approach the Scriptures not just to teach others, not just apply it to other people's lives, but how does it apply to my life? And I'll get to that in just a few minutes here. So the way to approach Scripture is through humility, having humility as we approach Scripture, not with answers or agenda, but when the Bible goes against what you believe or what you're doing, do you assume that the Bible is wrong, or are you humble enough to say, yeah, maybe I need to relook at this and listen to the Scriptures and maybe correct what I'm thinking or what I'm doing? God didn't give us the Bible to make us feel good about our bad behavior or about doing whatever we want to do. God gave us the Bible to help us understand what it means to live a godly life, a holy life, a good life, even. Not that it would be easy, but a life that has peace, a life that has understanding, even a life that has direction and purpose and meaning. That's what the scripture does for us when we approach it with humility. And I think an important thing to ask is, what is our motivation as we approach scripture? What is our motivation as we approach scripture? In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, there was a dialogue happening between two groups of people. And one group of people had been Christians for a while. The other group of people, they came out of the pagan tradition where they worshipped gods and sacrificed to idols. And there was this whole discussion about whether they can go to the market and they can buy meat that was sacrificed to idols and eat that meat, which was probably some of the best meat in the market. And so those who had been Christians for a while said, hey, it's okay to eat that meat for idols. It's cheaper and it tastes better than the other stuff. And so let's just eat that and it's all good. And then the people who came out of the pagan tradition, they were saying, well, no, but that was sacrificed to idols. And that's what we came out of. And it just kind of gives us all kinds of memories. And we need to heal from that still. And we're really struggling with that. And the people who were the Christians for a while, they said, well, but the scripture said that everything, that God has made everything clean. So we can eat whatever we want now. And it doesn't really matter as long as it's not like rotten and going to make us sick. And they said, it's okay. We can eat that. And they're like, no. And there was this dialogue happening between them. And it was this battle of knowledge that they had. And so there was this address that Paul gave to the church in Corinth. And he said, but knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. And so these Christians who had been Christians for a while were judging those who had just become new Christians for their hang-ups about the meat. It's just about meat. Like, can you believe it? It was such a big deal. But anyway, the meat served to idols. And they said, well, has your Christianity not developed enough? I mean, the scriptures say this, so we know this. But the thing is, it's not just based on our knowledge, but the love. If the Christians had love for those who were new Christians, they would have said, you know what? I get it, guys. You need to heal from that. Let's not argue about this anymore. If you don't want to eat meat that's sacrificed to idols, that's okay. You can heal from that. We understand. And it's okay. In fact, we won't even eat that in front of you or whatever, right? But when we're motivated by love as opposed to just the knowledge, when we're motivated to have that dialogue with God, to understand God's purpose for our lives and how God wants us to love one another as Christians, to love one another in our community, that all the knowledge that we have doesn't necessarily speak into that. And so our motivation in scripture needs to be examined as we come to the Word of God. What is your motivation? Something to think about. So as you approach scripture, some of the things that are important to think about. And if you're not writing any notes, these are some good notes that you might want to write down. Okay. So if you have a pen, I have a pen if anybody needs to borrow one. Anybody need to borrow a pen? No. Okay. If you have your notepad there, I didn't put any of this on there, but if you have this, there's some questions that are important to ask when you approach scripture, other than your motivation and all those sorts of things. But here's some questions when you read a passage of scripture that you can ask yourself. The first one is, do I read the Bible to align God's will with mine or to align my will with his? Now, you can shorten that sentence. I know that was a lot to write down, but am I reading the Bible to align my will with God's or to align his will with mine? Because sometimes we approach scripture and we want to justify our behavior. We want to justify what we're doing. And it may not necessarily be what God is intending us to do. And we know that maybe deep down inside, but we want to find some scripture to be able to back up what we're doing. So when you approach scripture, open your mind, open your agenda to allow God's agenda and God's will to speak into your life. Because he may have some surprises for you along the way. So read scripture to align your will with God's. Secondly, what does this passage teach me about God? What does this passage teach me about God? You can read any part of the scripture and be able to ask that question. What does this teach me about God? Why is this in God's journal? And what is it telling me about him? Great question, isn't it? Thirdly, is there something I need to hear from this passage for my own life? What do I need to hear from this scripture? What is God saying to me? Fourthly, what is God telling me? So not only what do I need to hear, but what is God telling me? What is God saying to you? And the next one is, what might he want me to do about it? What does he want you to do about it? So what is God saying to you, and what does he want you to do about it? And lastly, who can help? Who's going to help me do what God wants me to do? Because sometimes if we have a word from God and God wants us to do something and we say, okay, God, I'll do it. And then we turn around and we do the exact opposite, right? We've all done that. Well, maybe I'm the only one. But the thing is, when we have others who are helping us to be able to do it and say, you know what, God spoke this into my life through his word. And can you just help me or ask me about that every once in a while, or just help me to be able to do it, or help me strategize ways to be able to fulfill what God wants me to do and the changes he wants to make in my life. Friends, whether we are curious, whether we're convinced, whether we're cynical, reading the Bible is one of the most important things we need to do in our lives. We need to value reading the Bible more than we value eating food. That's how important it is. Now, I'm not saying you need to starve yourself and just read the word for the next week. I mean, you need to take care of your body, too. That's biblical, actually. But think about that, is that to crave the word of God as we crave food 3, 4, 5, 10 times a day, because it's that important of what God wants us to do within our lives, to hear the voice of God, to read God's journal towards us, and to allow it to speak into our lives, to guide us, to change us, to transform us. Because his words are alive. They're not just words on a page. They're words that change, words that transform. Let's pray. God, for your word, we thank you so much that you didn't just leave us here and not give us anything to form belief, but you gave us your word, which comes with authority, which comes with power, which is living and alive. And God, help us to have a desire to read your word. Help us to have a desire to allow your word to soak in to our lives. God, help us to let go of all the hang-ups we have about how we approach the word. But Lord, as we sit down and we open our Bibles, Lord, that the words on the page would come alive in our heart, and that we would know you more, and that we would develop an appetite, Lord, that daily we would crave your word.